Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Monday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is March 30th. It is 10 a.m. Eastern as we're recording this, and we had a fun weekend at hoops, and we have an interesting night in the NBA tonight, to say the least. There are a lot of bad games on the card. There are five games that, if you're looking to put together like a tanking parlay, you have the option to do that, but then there's three other games that I do think are interesting to look at, you know, one by one. So we'll get into all of it. We'll start with that tanking parlay. I'm not actually going to play it myself tonight. It would be minus 116, though, if you took all of these favorites. But it's Suns, Grizzlies, Bulls, Spurs, Timberwolves, Mavs, Cavaliers, Jazz, and Wizards, Lakers. All of those games feature, you know, a playoff team facing one of the teams that is hoping to, you know, get one of the top picks in this NBA draft. And I think that there are a couple games in there that are a little bit more interesting than others. I mean, Bulls Spurs is a San Antonio team that we'll talk about in a bit, because I do want to get into the MVP picture, because I think it's, you know, the hottest conversation in the NBA right now. I haven't done a lot of it on this podcast, so I'll weigh in there. But, you know, Chicago's been pretty competitive as far as a tanking team goes, and I do think it'll be interesting to see if, you know, maybe they're the spoiler there. Don't think it'll happen. I think the Spurs will win, but that is definitely the most interesting of the group. Other than that, though, you do have Anthony Edwards potentially coming back for the Timberwolves tonight. You have no Luka Doncic for the Lakers, suspended for picking up 16 technicals. So a little bit of drama in those five games. And I will say, I'll probably add some player props from those games a little bit later in the day. I've been doing this new thing where I like to see where the numbers are at Pinnacle compared to some of, you know, the books in the States. Usually I feel like if you get a higher number over there than you're getting here, that means that it's a bit sharper. So that's something that I've been toying with lately, have had a bit of success with it. Although last night I had Guy Santos to have 15 plus points, also sprinkled some 20 plus. That ended up being a big loss that prevented a huge day for me in the NBA, but I'm coming off two, you know, solid days in a row. Hopefully we can keep that up as we start this new week. But yeah, I will have some more up on the website, I'm sure, when it comes to player props a little bit later, maybe early afternoon. But as of right now, I do have two picks for today's slate. We'll start with one of them right now, talking about the 76ers facing the Miami Heat. And this is a game where the Sixers are 1.5-point road favorites. Totals way up at 246.5. I am interested in the Philadelphia side. I just think that this team is completely healthy right now. You just saw them play with Joel Embiid, Paul George, Tyrese Maxey for the first time in like what felt like forever. And they went out and beat the Hornets on the road in Charlotte. You know, if you've been listening to the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, that I am very high on this Hornets team. I believe that they are a top five team in the Eastern Conference. That might be a modest, you know, number. I think they might be a little bit better than that. But it was a big road win for the 76ers. All of the, you know, the stars looked good. It didn't look like they were coming off of lengthy injuries. And I do think that tonight we're going to see Paul George play pretty well again. I think this is a guy that, you know, just since coming back, averaging 27 points per game in 31 minutes per game. So, you know, the minutes have been there, not a big kind of ramp up for him. He's just been thrown right back into the fire, and he's looked the part of the guy he was before being suspended for, you know, the medication he was taking. And I think this is a really good matchup for George. So I went over 16.5 points at minus 120. This Miami team is number 23 in the NBA, guarding above the break threes. George hits a ton of non-corner threes. Also, overall, Miami is 19th in the NBA, defending spot-up jumpers. And George is a player that does a lot of work in isolation, which is, again, a solid matchup for him for isolation. Miami's a bottom five team in the NBA defending there. But also, George at this point in his career does a little bit more as a spot-up shooter, especially on this team, because Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid just demand so much of your attention that you can't really pay as close of attention to George. So I think he's going to get some good looks in this game, especially with it being, you know, potentially a very, very fast game. I mean, I said the total 246.5. That's very, very high. That's definitely the highest number on the board tonight. Yeah, it is, after double checking. But I do think this is going to be a game that's going to be up and down. I've said it all season long. Miami continues to play at this rapid pace. I mean, they're number one on the season with a, you know, tempo of 104.5. And since the All-Star break, they're number two in the NBA, right behind the Bulls, who I believe are number two over the course of the entire season. So not that crazy in a small sample, they're number two behind Chicago, but still playing very fast. And that kind of negates the good work that they do defensively, not from a winning standpoint for Miami, but when you're talking about player props, if you see a team that's, you know, top five in the league in defensive rating, you don't always want to go against them. I haven't been afraid of playing player props against the Heat because there are extra possessions in the game and they do play fast and they kind of welcome, you know, a shootout style. So I think George is going to get some good looks in this game and I think he can be trusted to bury them. I think this Philly team is going to be very interesting to monitor the rest of the season. If they head into the postseason healthy, like Charlotte, they become a team that nobody in that top four wants to see in a best of seven. If you're looking to sharpen your edge the remainder of the NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to go. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of our subscription options. I keep saying I love the $9.99 offer. You're getting every single sport from us. It's not just NBA, but I do, you know, some extra picks on the website that you don't get in the podcast. So if you like the way that I handicap games, there are extra picks over on the Pro Picks page, over in my columns. So that's another reason to head over to the website. But also, you get all of Steve Mackinnon's writing on the NBA. He does a great job with trends, analytics, all of these kind of things that you want to know heading into each night's slate. And then we have every other sport. Like I said, like I do a lot of, you know, tennis. I'm doing some MLB this year. We have, you know, MLB from Adam Burke, my managing editor, who does a great job with his previews every single day. We have Greg Peterson doing, you know, MLB and NCAA. There's just so much over on the website. Also so much on our network. Like I was trying to explain the network over at dinner with a couple of friends on Saturday night. I'm like, it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, this is like prime ESPN, but with a focus strictly on betting. It's great if you enjoy sports betting and, you know, sports gambling. It's nothing tops it. Nothing tops the VSiN network. So make sure you head it over to vsin.com, see what we have to offer, and, you know, check us out on the YouTube TV app. All right, let's move on to another game that I do have a pick for. It's the Celtics at the Hawks. This game tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And Atlanta is a 1.5-point favorite. And I will say, I do think that Boston is a better team than Atlanta. So this is not, you know, anything to do with where I view these teams at full strength. But I took the Hawks money line at -115. And a lot of that has to do with the injury report for Boston and the situation that this is, because this Celtics team is playing the second leg of a back-to-back. They went to Charlotte and they won yesterday. So I'm expecting Jason Tatum to sit. I mean, I don't know for sure we're going to see that, but I do kind of wonder, with this team having the goal of winning the Eastern Conference and winning the NBA title, will they play Jason Tatum 2 days in a row after such a lengthy recovery for his Achilles tendon? I just kind of think it's very likely that we see him sit. And I would not be surprised if Jaylen Brown sits too, because he's dealing with Achilles soreness himself. He has missed the last two games for the Celtics. And I just think that, you know, there's a good chance we see only one, if not none, of these two in tonight's game. And, you know, if they do miss those two guys, wouldn't say it's a death blow. Like, this is a team that's very, very deep. Peyton Pritchard, guys like that have proven all year that when the stars are down, they can go out and feel it up and give their team a chance. But I do think that when you kind of look at the numbers since the All-Star break, this Hawks team has not been much worse than the Celtics. So I would expect Atlanta to beat a shorthanded Boston team, even if it's just one of those two missing. Since the All-Star break, Hawks are 16-3 with a +10.5 net rating. Celtics also very good, 15-5 with a +8.8 net rating. But I do think with Atlanta playing this game at home and coming off the loss in Boston a couple of days ago, this is a really good revenge spot. And like I said, a good rest spot, good injury report spot. I don't think the Hawks are going to have any major absences on their side. So I do expect them to get back in the win column. And I think that even if Brown and Tatum are out there together, the Hawks can win this game outright just because of how good they are defensively right now and just how good they can be at home. So yeah, I think this is a game at the Hawks -115 on the money line. Definitely worth your action. And then the final game that I want to talk about before getting into kind of the MVP stuff is the final of the two, I believe, you know, the doubleheader on Peacock and NBC. It is the Pistons at the Thunder. Pistons missing a lot of players takes away from kind of the appeal of this game, because for a big chunk of the season, I'd say still, you know, in the minds of many, this is an NBA Finals preview. The Pistons are, you know, number two in the NBA in defensive rating, right behind the Thunder, who are number one. Detroit, number one in the Eastern Conference right now when you look at record. And it's a phenomenal basketball team. It's one that I think is kind of a year away, but it's still a team that is very, very dangerous and can win the Eastern Conference. So there's a chance this is the NBA Finals preview. But unfortunately, you are not going to see Cade Cunningham. He's still out, you know, with the punctured lung, not the punctured lung. Collapsed lung. Sorry, forgot the word there. There has been punctured lungs in the past, which are also scary, but collapsed lung, still out for Detroit. That is a player that was playing at an all NBA first team level throughout the course of the season. So already in trouble if you're Detroit. But also Isaiah Stewart is out. That means you're missing some toughness. Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, Duncan Robinson, all doubtful. And I do think that doubtful means they're going to miss this game. And Asar Thompson is questionable, and I would be shocked if Thompson plays, if all the other guys miss this game, because if he's dealing with something, why not just give him a little bit of extra rest in a game that you are clearly not taking very seriously? So I think that OKC does roll in this game, and I think that they are a fitting, you know, 12.5-point favorite, which is what they are at DraftKings right now. Could change by the time you listen to this, but I do think the Pistons are in some trouble tonight. And I actually think that the way that I would play this is the under on the Pistons team total, which is 102.5, because I do think that even with Detroit having played some pretty good basketball without Cade so far, like you're seeing Dennis Jenkins play phenomenal at the point guard spot. But I do think that going against this team defensively, and OKC could miss some guys of their own. Maybe they'll see some guys on Detroit are missing and decide to rest their own players. But I didn't, no matter who is out there for the Thunder, kind of trust their defensive infrastructure. And overall, like, they have so much depth defensively that I think they'll always have a couple of really good defenders on the floor. I think they're going to hold the Pistons to a pretty ugly number. And the Pistons are playing a bit slower without Cade than they were, you know, over the course of the entire season. Pace of 99.6 over the last six games. So I do just kind of think this sets up for an ugly game from Detroit. Maybe they find a way to cover by D'ing up themselves, but hard to even project that with the amount of absences that we're seeing on the Pistons side. So under on the team total for Detroit for me. If you have to take something in this game, I would lay the points with OKC or throw them into, you know, the tanking parlay and treat Detroit like a tanking team. Not the same situation, but a lot of guys missing. So I think you can fairly treat it like that. But yeah, ugly game. It's a game that I was literally looking forward to, just kind of on the schedule over the last couple of weeks, but we are not getting what we expected there. So unfortunately, the Peacock, you know, triple header for tonight really is only Heat hosting the 76ers in terms of games that you're going to really want to go out of your way to watch. But I do think Celtics Hawks will be fun. And I actually think Timberwolves Mavericks is an interesting game, just because Dallas has not thrown in the white towel yet. They're still playing Cooper Flagg, hoping that he could edge out, you know, Konkanipal in the rookie of the year market. I don't think he's going to, but we will see. Flagg is being given kind of every opportunity to do it after a couple of, you know, weeks off with an injury. So that game is a little bit more interesting than you would think when looking at the records, you know, Minnesota being 45-29, Dallas 24-50. I still think that that one might be worth watching. All right, to the MVP. I spoke about this a little bit on By the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis this morning, but I'll go, you know, deep dive on it right now. I think that you're seeing a lot of love for Wemby right now, and I do think that, you know, it's warranted. I think that if I were kind of picking, you know, who would be the MVP this season, I would have Wemby number two behind SGA, but you are seeing this push from Wemby, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it came right after he kind of lobbied for himself and said that he deserves to be the MVP. My producer, Michael Cohen, put it in here, the quote that he added, defense is 50% of the game. I believe I'm the most impactful player defensively in the league. He is not wrong there. When you look at, you know, kind of estimated plus minus on the defensive end, there's no denying that this is the most impactful defensive player in the league. I just think that what he's not understanding, or maybe what other, a lot of people are understanding, is that, like, catch-all metrics like estimated plus minus and box plus minus, all of these numbers that kind of smart NBA people look at, they do capture both ends of the floor. Maybe they don't do it like 100% accurately. They can't possibly do that. Defense is a harder thing to judge, but they do, you know, consider both offensive and defensive numbers. And he is still behind SGA when you're looking at estimated plus minus, which is my favorite of all the catch-all metrics. It's over at dunksandthrees.com, dunks and threes, you know, all lowercase.com. It's a very good website if you're looking for kind of some really good numbers about the NBA season. And SGA, number one, like I just said, an estimated plus minus. Also number one in estimated wins added. And these are the types of numbers that, like, over the last couple of years, even like 4 or 5 years now, the Joker has led the league by a pretty wide margin. Now it's SGA. That's why I think that SGA is past the Joker, at least. But I do think that kind of looking at the, you know, the case between SGA and Wemby, I fully understand that Wemby's a better defensive player than SGA. That's not even debatable. Wemby has also meant more to San Antonio when being on or off the floor than SGA has this season. Like, looking at some of the numbers that I have from Cleaning the Glass, with Wemby on the floor, San Antonio is a plus 17.5 points per 100 possessions. With him off, they are actually a minus 0.1. So they are 17.4 points better with, 17.6 points better with Wemby on the floor as opposed to off. SGA on the floor, OKC is plus 15.2. With him off, they're still plus 6.2. So there is a 9 differential with SGA. That's a big difference. Like, you won't get me wrong. Like, that is absolutely huge. Wemby deserves all the credit in the world for being kind of irreplaceable and somebody that makes this Spurs team an elite team. And then when you take him off the floor, they become, like, not a lottery team, but maybe like an end of the lottery team. They become a team that would not make the playoffs without Wemby. So you can't take that away from him. He kind of dragged this team to that 2 seed this year and deserves all the credit in the world. But I just kind of think that this year, the numbers are a little bit overwhelming. I just don't think that you can give SGA MVP last year and then look at his numbers this year, which are better than they were a year ago, and say that he doesn't deserve it, especially when he's played 4 more games than Wemby, 4 more minutes per game in those games, just a bit more reliable than Wemby when it comes to being on the floor and playing big minutes. But yeah, like, you just kind of look at some of SGA's scoring stuff, and I was doing this before too, like some of the traditional numbers, they're absolutely insane. Like, this is a guard that is shooting 55.1% from the floor. That's unheard of. He's also shooting 37.9% from three. That's up from 37.5% last year, and it's on increased volume. Also, he has cut his turnovers from 2.4 to 2.2. while getting his assists a little bit up from 6.4 to 6.5, but just taking better care of the basketball, shooting a better percentage from the floor. And you look at kind of the season-long story for this OKC team, and yeah, this is like obviously the most loaded roster in the entire NBA. Wemby doesn't quite have that, even though the Spurs are very talented themselves. But like, Jalen Williams has missed a huge chunk of this season, so SGA has done a lot of his work by himself. In that regard, we're talking about like perimeter scoring on a nightly basis. Like, sure, AJ Mitchell and some of these other guys are good shooters and scorers, and they provide a little bit of everything for OKC when they're on the floor. But without J-Dub out there for a good chunk of the season, there's been so much on SGA, and they have just won so many big games, so many close games on the back of the reigning MVP that I just think it's going to be really hard to kind of, you know, give this to somebody else. Having said that, like, the odds do tell, you know, a pretty big story. March 19th, Wemby's MVP odds, 33-1. Now the best price you're going to get on him is plus 270 if you want to take him. SGA was as low as minus 275 right now, but you can also find minus 335. But like, this has just been tightened up in a way that I don't think was imaginable 2 weeks ago. I mean, SGA at one point was over minus 1,000. To win the award, just had a huge implied probability to get the job done. I still think he will. I want that on the record, but I do think that Wemby has 100% jumped Nikola Jokic in the rankings, and he's definitely made it really close with SGA. I guess now all you really have to do is kind of watch the standings. I mean, if San Antonio does find a way to jump OKC, which is going to be very difficult with the amount of time left, sure, maybe Wemby passes him. But as of right now, I think that you're getting a good price on SGA. Maybe not one that you can go out and put a bunch on, because these are, you know, still, you know, juicy number. Like minus 275 is the best you can find. That's not something a lot of people want to lay on a nightly basis, or, you know, tie their money up with in a future. But I do think it's playable, maybe if you want to parlay it with something. But I think SGA is going to get this award one more year. Now, will he win it next year? And will the Joker win it next year? That becomes interesting, because I do think that at the very least, Wemby has shown that, like, this thing's going to be his award for a very long time. Much like Defensive Player of the Year, we might be looking at a situation where, like, if Wemby's healthy and plays 65 games, he's the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, like, every year for the next 5 or 6 years, until we see someone come along and just kind of prove to be, like, as freakishly gifted on both ends of the floor as he is. It could be a dominant, you know, run here coming for Wemby, who might be like, yeah, this, you got to assume health, got to hope for health, like, knock on wood. Hopefully this guy avoids big injuries that derail his career. But, like, he is on, if not a GOAT trajectory, something very damn close to it. And you're going to see that in the awards markets over the next couple of years. Like, Wemby would be the clear favorite to me heading into next season. And like I said, like, he's made it close enough this season that you could easily say that over the last 2-3 months, he has earned, you know, just ever since he's come back from his calf injury, that he's been the most valuable player. But that chunk of time off the floor kind of allowed SGA to do some things. And SGA has been good enough that I think that he should hold on for the rest of this season. But it's going to be close, and it's going to be Wemby's beginning next season. I really think that. So, yeah, just hope for good health from all these players. But for sure, with Wemby, he deserves a full, clean season that doesn't take away from anything he's done on the floor, because he's just a special player, special person, honestly. Like, just like this type of superstar that he is. It's the type that every single team in the league wants, because he's just a no-nonsense guy that really focuses attention on basketball. Maybe he'll be corrupted at some point in the next couple of years. I doubt it, though. He just seems so locked in, so hyper-focused on becoming the best version of himself that he could be, and, you know, making San Antonio the best team that it could be, that it's a special kind of mentality that you get from him. I think you also get it from SGA. You get it from Joker, but it is really cool that a young player like Wemby is this good and this focused, you know, this early in his career. Before we recap our best bets for tonight, attention any listeners who are new to VSiN, signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, just two picks for me tonight, but we are hoping to go 3 days in the green in a row. Been a rough season, you know, at least since the All-Star break. So hopefully we can pick it up, finish off strong, and then we get to the playoffs where we don't have to deal with as much uncertainty when it comes to lineups. I think that we'll do a lot better there. But for tonight, Paul George over 16.5 points at minus 120 versus the Heat. Hawks money line minus 115 versus the Celtics. As I mentioned, I probably will go back in and add some player props as some more numbers become widely available. But as of right now, it's just these two. Hopefully we can win them both if you are telling me. But if not, we'll get back at it tomorrow night, you know, with a really big slate coming up. And I do think that, you know, we are going to have a really good week of shows for you, you know, these next couple of days. We will have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Kelly Bidlin on with me at some point this week. Don't want to lock in the dates anymore because this stuff changes all the time. But both of them want to do the show this week. We'll see what we can do. And yeah, hopefully we win tonight. Hopefully we keep up, you know, all the good stuff. If you enjoyed the podcast for today, please like, comment, rate, subscribe, whatever you can do to give us some positive feedback. We appreciate that, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, whatever it is, we appreciate it, you know, immensely. So, you know, if you enjoy the show, please help us out there. But otherwise, make sure you join us for a Tuesday episode of Harvard Handicappers. And like I said, best of luck tonight.